Now, the rest of the story. Fred knew the plane was going down. Practically the middle of the ocean, the only land in sight could hardly be considered such. It was Mylai Atoll, great circular reef outlining a spindly chain of islands in the South Pacific. Yet the least comforting thought as the plane lost altitude was that the Japanese had been prowling these parts for some time. Even if Fred survived the crash, could he survive capture by the Japanese? An actual landing on any of the tiny tree-laden islands was out of the question. With fuel almost gone, there was no alternative but to ditch on that long stretch of offshore reef, one which lay about 100 yards from Bar Island. He went in, nose as high as he dared, throttles idle, mixture levels to idle cutoff, both magneto switches down, the plane's tail skimmed the water, and then the fuselage slammed in. It cost a right wing, but the craft was otherwise safely stopped and clinging to the reef. At impact, Fred had been thrown forward. His head was cut and bleeding. There was also a 4-inch gash in one knee. As frightened islanders watched from their hiding places, Fred emerged through the top hatch, withdrew an inflatable life raft and provisions, and made his way to shore. And shortly after Fred arrived on Bar Island, so did the Japanese. There was a flurry of unintelligible questions, which Fred probably would not have answered even if he'd understood them. And minutes later, Fred was led away. A Japanese ship would salvage the crash-landed plane for subsequent examination. I said the crash-landed plane was subsequently salvaged, and that same vessel would also transport Fred to a Japanese military hospital. By then, Fred's knee was badly infected. It was 2 weeks before the wound had even begun to heal. Thereafter, Fred was taken to a hotel for questioning. His interrogators insisted he was a spy. Fred denied being a spy. But the Japanese pointed to the 35-millimeter camera, which had been in his possession when he had crashed. It was to be used for spying, was it not? Fred insisted he had no idea what they were talking about. But Fred was taken off to Garapan Prison, and he was a lousy prisoner. One day, after a few months had passed, a guard brought Fred his daily bowl of thin soup. Fred, suffering from dysentery, fed up with no real food, threw the soup back at the guard, was summarily escorted from his cell and beheaded. Almost a half a century later, a United States Air Force officer named Vincent Loomis would seek to reconstruct the story you've just heard. And he did it through a chain of eyewitnesses, including the natives of Bar Island and a medical corpsman who treated Fred's wounds. The reason those events in the summer of 1937 should interest you is that Fred was not alone when he crash-landed. He was captured and interrogated and died a Japanese prisoner, but so was a fellow crew member. Fred Noonan was only the navigator. The plane's pilot who went through the entire ordeal with him was someone you know but had believed to be missing. For thus, say today's investigators, did that pilot become the innocent victim of America's burgeoning war with Japan, the world touring pilot, Amelia Earhart. And now, do we know the rest of the story?